Welcome in, guys. It is Brad with College Sportscast. If you are a Kentucky fan, it has been one wild, wild day. That's all I'm going to say. We are here to do our game day pick'ems, Sweet 16 March Madness edition. And I have Hammonds here with me. And let me get to this real quick. All right, guys, welcome back. It is Brad with College Sportscast. Like I said, I got Hammonds here with me. Jason Harrison is about to join us. He always comes in and he's a ghost for a little bit, and then he'll come in and join us. I'm not exactly sure what he's doing there, but he's working it out, and he will be with us in just a few minutes. We are here to do our game day pick'em Sweet 16 March Madness. I know we're doing it a little early, but the games actually start on Thursday, so we don't want to do it Thursday night. So we are going to do it a little bit early. There's Harrison. What's up, Jason?
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? Greg? And we got John Hammonds with us tonight.
What's up, man?
What's up, Hammonds?
Not much.
All right, so start out with, I've been doing this on every show. There is now two ways you can help support us on Facebook. Our Facebook is growing. We are over 1,500 followers now on our Facebook page. We started this year, season two, we were at like 450. We're over 1,500. There's two ways you can help support us. You can send stars on reels and episodes like this, content like this. And that will help support us, or you can subscribe now to our Facebook page. It's only 99 cents a month, and it helps us bring more content to you guys and help support College Sportscast. So start out with that. And like I said, guys, we are here to do our pick'ems. We are going to do our pick'ems, and we're going to do both the men's and the women's brackets. Just so you guys know, it's a Sweet 16. It's March Madness. I am covering women's college basketball now, and actually, I'm going to start with that. So today, this morning, actually, pretty early, around 10:30 Central Time, 10 o'clock Central Time. Virginia Tech actually broke this news and released it first in a release that their head coach, Kenny Brooks, had accepted the job to be the Kentucky women's basketball head coach. And
hey, that shows how much respect that that school has for him, that they broke it for him.
Virginia Tech actually broke the story first. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. 100%. Kenny Brooks had been at Virginia Tech for 8 years. He has a three-time SEC Player of the Year on his team this year that actually got hurt and tore her ACL the last regular season game of the season.
And another thing too, he had a top 10 recruiting class coming in for next year. So maybe, you know, he slides them over to Lexington.
He does. He has a top eight recruiting class on ESPN coming in 2024, or he had at Virginia Tech. Of course, now he is moving on. I just want to say, I got to give Mitch Barnhart some credit here, guys. This is an absolute excellent, excellent hire. It is a home run hire. Kenny Brooks has been a head coach for 22 years. He was at James Madison for 14. All right. He's been to 10 NCAA tournaments. He has, the last 4 years straight, he took Virginia Tech to, who had pretty much was a perennial missing the NCAA tournament. They've been to the NCAA tournament 4 years in a row. Last year, they made it to the Final Four. He took them to the Final Four and was headed in that direction this year before Liz Kittley got hurt.
Yeah.
And his best player got hurt. He got knocked out just two nights ago.
By Baylor, yeah.
In the round of 32 by Baylor at home, 75-72. I just want to give a shout out. Kenny Brooks is an excellent, excellent hire. Jason, he started out, he played at James Madison under Lefty Drizzell.
Awesome. I think that let's be frank. I think this injects women's Kentucky basketball in the upward direction. I think that there was no doubt that when John said he's bringing a top 10 class in, and you were in as a top 8 class, that's a class that needs to be in the SEC.
Well, and on top of that, too, Jason, you know, he's a family guy. He's family oriented. Like it's a really good move. Girls, actually.
That's what I'm saying. It really injects life back into that program. Now, after Kentucky, you know, I didn't come on Sunday with you guys because I was in Dallas moving around. And I'm going to say it right now. Kentucky messed up my bracket. I'm just going to say that. The men's. But Coach Brooks, man, that's a good hire, man. Yeah. Definitely. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tune in. And see what he's doing.
He played from 1988 to 1981 at James Madison under Lefty Drizzell, who went later on, went to Maryland, coached Lynn Bias, fame there, at, you know, in the 80s. But he played under Lefty Drizzell at James Madison. Then he got his start on the men's side. He was an assistant on the men's side for James Madison for 4 years before he took over the women's program, and he's been coaching women ever since. And 2002 or 2003, 22 years he's been coaching women, 8 of them at Virginia Tech. And I got to give a big shout out to Mitch, Mitch Barnhart. This is a great hire to get a Final Four coach. And I'll say this, I'm in some groups with a couple of the players' parents, okay? And there's been, since Kyra Elzey got fired and everything, there's been players leaving the program, putting their name in the transfer portal. I happen to know that now that there is at least some positive buzz from the players' parents, so that is always a good sign.
Always.
And it wouldn't hurt to bring some of that recruiting class to Lexington as well. So
I don't think he would have took the job if that wasn't already understood.
He's got to build, because I mean, 5 players are in the transfer portal. They only had 10 to start with. There's only 5 players on the squad for next year, so he's got to build here, and bringing players, recruits with him, and bringing transfer portal players is going to be part of his.
You know, like I know, the donors' pockets in Kentucky are very, very deep when they want something.
They picked
the coach who had a top recruiting class to come. Switch conferences and come to the SEC they had to pay him handsomely and understand.
Exactly. How, that's exactly what I was going to get at. So his contract has not come out yet. Okay.
Yeah.
But there are rumors that he is going to be a top 10 paid coach in all of women's college basketball.
He had to be. He had to be. To leave what he's built to come somewhere else, you just got to pay him.
So Kentucky is invested in football. They've invested in baseball. They're investing, in women's basketball.
As they should.
They're doing a lot here, and I just think it's a great hire, and I wanted to talk about it off the top of the show here. So, but we will get to our picks now. We're going to start with the men's side of the tournament here, and we're going to start with the rematch of the final game last year in 2023. We have number one UConn going against fifth-seeded San Diego State. And if you guys remember, that was the finals matchup last year in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. As we said, UConn has the toughest road back to the Final Four. You know, and in a matchup like this, to be playing your opponent from last year in the big games, in the big game, listen. I think San Diego State could get them. I think they could get them, because of the experience. It's going to be one of those games because they have a lot of guys who return. They have a good core that returned from last year, but they look really good. Looked really good the other day. So, this is going to be one of those ones.
I still like UConn in this matchup, just based on, the level of play that they're playing at. But I will say this, that, San Diego State has some dudes. They got Jaden Waddell, Lamont Butler. They got a top 10 defense. I think, if I'm not mistaken, UConn is – I had it written down here. I think they're like second offensive team in KenPom. So this is going to be attrition. The top rated defense against one of the best offenses in the country, in UConn. I'm going to say this much on this game, this part. If you've not watched Jaden Ledee play basketball, you need to watch him.
What's so special about him, John, is how much he has improved from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing.
He went from, a really good player.
He scored like 5 points a game on last year's team.
To a lottery pick in just a matter of months. He took over that game the other night. He hit some big threes there. He took over the Mountain West all year. I'm really surprised he did not win Mountain West Player of the Year, to be honest. I thought he should. But
he's averaging still like 19 points or something, 19 and a half.
I'm still going to UConn in this game. But the 10.5 point spread to me is a little high.
I've been pretty busy, and I haven't even looked at spreads.
It's UConn. It's UConn. UConn has pretty much dominated their first two games. This will be a step up in competition in the Sweet 16. So I look for a challenge here, but I love the Aztecs. I love what they bring to the table, but I just don't think they get it done this Thursday night. It's going to be tough on them, but. Anything can happen.
I think the rematch here, unfortunately, I think the rematch here is going to come down to a similar game than what we saw last year in the finals, if you ask me, probably. Yeah. It's going to be a tough matchup for UConn. I don't think this is going to be one of those 20 or 30 point wins or nothing like that for UConn. This is going to be a tough match for them.
The biggest thing for San Diego State, and I've said it,
but between Newton and Spencer, and I mean, they cling them. I mean, they just got too much.
But here's the thing I've said about San Diego State all year is when they're hitting shots, they can beat anybody, but they've not been a real great shooting team. And you can't go into those little lapses against a team like UConn because they'll take you out of the building.
But guys, we also have to make sure, what if UConn goes cold in San Diego State? So it's one game.
UConn actually struggled this last game. They were only like 2 of 20 or something.
So this is what I'm saying. It's an early game. You got them playing early. San Diego State is already gonna be red. I can see it going down to the last 2 minutes of the ball game.
I made a mention of this in a space the other night. We was talking about San Diego State and how their run catapulted them last year. It's sort of the same way because they had an upset in the first round last year. Furman beat Virginia. They beat and then they had to beat Yale, which Yale beat Auburn, and then now they play in the Sweet 16 against a team like UConn, which was Alabama last year with the one seed. It kind of feels that way again. I'm not saying Alabama last year was better than UConn this year, but I'm saying.
But you're talking about they had some dudes on this team like UConn does.
They do.
They had some good young talent.
They did. They're sort of in the same situation they was last year.
I'm still picking UConn here, guys. I know San Diego State's a good team, and I think they're going to hang tough. But for me, I'm still taking UConn in this game.
I'll say this, Brad. I agree with you. But if the big fella is taking out the game because he can't keep up and they have to play San Diego style with their size, kind of like small ball, San Diego State gonna win. If UConn is not playing big tomorrow, it's gonna get ugly.
You mean Thursday? It's Tuesday.
Thursday. I'm sorry. Thursday.
No, but one more quick thing on San Diego State. The one thing that I love about this San Diego State team is I've always said it. You probably know this, Jason. Defense travels in the NCAA tournament, and they have a top 10 defense. And if they can force UConn to make some tough shots, and San Diego State can hit some shots, we could be looking at, you know, 5-6 point game late in the game, and San Diego State has a chance to pull it out. So it just all depends on how each team comes out and which team's ready to go.
Probably the best game.
Absolutely. I agree with you, but we're going to move on to the next one. We got several of these to go through, counting the women's tournament too. So we got in the same bracket here. This is in the East. You got number 3 Illinois versus number seed 2 Iowa State. And this is going to be a heck of a matchup as well. So, Jason,
this is going to be where unstoppable force meets immovable object.
Well, I mean, you were talking about defense. Iowa State plays.
They are my pick to win it all. Mm-hmm. I picked Iowa State. In my bracket,
they place incredible defense.
Yes, they do. They really take you out of what you want to do, and they have some guys who can make some one-on-one
play. Of course, Illinois has got Shannon Jr. So
they I don't think Iowa State lets one man Shannon go off Jr. for 40. I don't think Iowa State to me plays defense too good to let one man go off for 40. You've seen what they just did to Houston 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And you know what Houston is anyway. So that lets you know how good Iowa State really is. And Final Four. I'm saying it right now. Iowa State will be going to the Final Four.
You think so, huh? So you got them beating UConn, huh?
I got them beating whoever wins that game. Whoever wins that game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm putting UConn out there. I'm sorry. All right, John, what do you think on this game?
I really like Illinois in this game. You know, I like their offense, the way they play ball, the way they get up and down the floor, the fast pace, you know, especially with Terrence Shannon Jr., you know, Coleman Hawkins, Damask. This is a really fun team to watch. Brad Underwood has done a really good job at Illinois with what he's brought and his mentality. So this will be a tough matchup for Iowa State. It'll be a tough matchup for Illinois too. Both sides will be tested in this matchup. So
I think Illinois
comes out of this game. I think you're going to see an Illinois UConn Elite Eight on Saturday.
All right. So I'm kind of what you said a while ago, defense travels in the NCAA tournament. I'm going with the defense here. I think this Iowa State team just has something special about them. Mm-hmm. And I'm with Jason on this one. I really feel like Iowa State moves on in this one. So
you're gonna have to block some comments in here. This is getting ridiculous on here. Using the R word around here, like, I mean, it's
yeah, I don't know what all that is, but I'll just put a quick stop to that. All right, so Iowa State, if you ask me, is the one that I think they move on here, and this is the east side. That would put UConn and Iowa State out there for me. Mm-hmm. And Jason's already said it. If we're going to project and look forward, and I was going to do that as we go, I'll be honest with you. I think there's a very good chance that Iowa State knocks off UConn and goes to the Final Four.
Like you said, it's just a one-game thing. It you know.
And I know everybody in the country has UConn winning it all. Well, not everybody, but probably 40% has UConn winning it all.
I know I do. So in my bracket. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Hey, which is not a bad pick. Which is not a bad pick.
About 40% of the country has UConn, but it would not surprise me if Iowa State can't come out of this bracket. So I'm just going to put it out there. Then we go down to the lower bracket here. We've got North Carolina as the one seed and Alabama as the four seed here. What's your guys' thoughts on this game?
Offense, offense, offense. Is what I'm going to say about it.
This is true. I mean, this could be 115 to 110.
Mm-hmm. I think North Carolina, if they go inside and really test the interior of Alabama, I think North Carolina can win this. But if it's an up and down shooting, I'm going to give it to Alabama now, because Alabama, they've been known to score a couple hundred points. Four or five games in a row. So, I mean, if you want to just go up and down and score, I like Alabama chance. But North Carolina has to pound them, and get them in foul trouble.
I'll say this, you know.
Yeah, but they like to run, too. They're high scoring, too, North Carolina is.
I get it. But they throw the ball inside.
Yeah, they do.
RJ Davis, you know, might be one of the better guards in the country still in this tournament. And you know, a lot of people wanted Alabama to be faded in this tournament. A lot of people didn't trust their defense. They thought that they couldn't handle the pressure of winning in the first weekend. They proved that wrong. You know, their defense played really well against Grand Canyon the other night. And they made some plays at the end. They hit some shots. And I've always said it, Mark Sears goes as Alabama goes. And when he's on, Alabama is, you know, they're good. So, but I'm going to take North Carolina in this game. So, I still like the Heels.
All right. So, you're taking the number one seed. What about you, Jason?
You know, I'm a diehard SEC guy through and through. I think Like I said, if North Carolina does not go inside and get those bigs from Alabama in foul trouble, you're giving Alabama a chance. I think even though they're a running team, and I know they like to play fast, it's a make or miss. If you're missing those shots, Alabama can sure hit them. But on the other end, Alabama can make those shots and miss them too. So it's one of those deals. I give the edge to North Carolina because I think they just have a little bit more that they can get, they can pull more points from. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama bit, but I'm going with North Carolina on this one.
Yeah, I mean, my trust here is probably leaning towards North Carolina in this game. I think Bama, I mean, they have some nights where they just don't look as good as they do other nights. And, you know, so if I'm going to have to pick one here, I think I'm going to have to go with North Carolina.
Got a bunch of idiots. Got a bunch of children playing on the internet tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I'm telling you, man, you can't have nothing anymore because of people. They're just
yes, you can.
I'm not giving it any creed, but yeah, anyways. Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on to the bottom of this bracket here. We've got number 6, Clemson, who is finally starting to play like I thought they would play all year long, and they're going against Arizona, number 2. And Clemson is a team that makes me mad because I was picking them all year playing like crap, and then I decided to get the hell off of them when the tournament started because they've been thinking – I picked him in the ACC tournament, and they come out late an egg against Boston College. And then I said, nope, I'm not picking them no more. And guess what? They come out and play like they're supposed to, and they win 2 big games. So anyways, you know, I'm kind of mad at Clemson.
I think the defense here for Clemson has a really good chance at, you know, maybe pulling the upset here. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't trust Caleb Love at times just with the mere fact that he makes some questionable shots at questionable times. And he just gets too erratic at times, you know. And will that play a factor in this situation? I don't know. But Clemson's got some really good talent on that team. You know, they got the Hunter kid. They got, you know, P.J. Hall in the middle, which can create some damage. So Clemson got here by taking care of business. They beat a really good Baylor team. They actually held Baylor and the 2 opponents that they played under 40%, New Mexico. So, but they're going up against a really tough challenge in this Arizona offense with, you know, Love and the other point guard out front. So
Arizona, it's been a team that you can't fully trust either.
No.
I mean, you can't fully trust them either.
They did finally snap the streak of getting the Sweet 16, though. So that was a major plus for them. So,
well, now to be fair, I think this is Lloyd's 3rd year, and I think he's made the Sweet 16 2 out of 3 years.
Yeah, but I'm talking about last year where they lost to Princeton. I said they finally got that thing kind of clouded over their head. Which
they did get beat first round last year.
Yep. So
all right. Harrison, but, what do you think,
but to answer your question, my prediction, I got Arizona in this game. I think we're in for a Cave of Love, RJ Davis love affair in the Elite Eight. You know?
Hey, let the storylines begin. I think that we are on a crash.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be a heck of a story.
That's going to be a heck of a story. And I'm picking Arizona. Yeah. Clemson, to me, you're right. Clemson has they had struggled all year. They were hot at one point, one of the hottest teams in the country. And then the like I said, conference just, play. Conference, it was just conference play. Brutal conference play.
In conference.
Yes. So I think that Clemson could very well win this game, but I'm going Arizona for North Carolina. Arizona matchup. Hey,
that's what I'm doing too here, guys. The Caleb Love, RJ Davis matchup is just too juicy not to pick. And if you don't know the background of the story, I'm really not going to get into it here tonight. But I'm telling you right now, it's going to be you're going to have to pay attention to this matchup if it happens.
Yep.
But I just cannot pick this Clemson team the way they've done me all year long. Sooner or later, they're going to get knocked out. It's just bound to happen.
Yeah. It's just bound to happen. Yep.
It's bound to happen, surely. All right, then we're going to go to the Houston and Duke game. Houston is the one seed. Duke is a four seed. I'm going to give you guys a stat that you are going to say that there's no way that this is true. Do you guys know that Duke has not beat a lower seed than them in the NCAA tournament since 1994.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you guys
and people know don't, that? And they have a combined record of 58-12, both these teams do. So this should be a fun game.
Did y'all hear what I said? They have not beat a seed that's seeded lower than them since 1994. That's unbelievable.
Well, you had some unfortunate incidents that may have happened in the past, but I mean,
some upsets every now and then.
That just blew my mind when I seen that. I thought that's crazy.
March Madness.
I'm gonna give a shout out for this game. I like Duke. I think Duke's got a really great team. You know, McCain's really playing really well. Filipowski's playing good. They're playing good at the right time. But there's no guard in the country, to me, just my opinion, that's playing better than nobody right now than Jamal Shedd for Houston. He's making shots. He's, you know, rebounding the ball. He's being a leader. He's doing all the things.
One thing to me in this game, John, the one thing that this Duke team struggles with is physicality.
Physicality, yes. That's.
And this Houston team,
they're good defensively.
They are tough as nails. Tough as nails. And physical.
Well, and not really.
To me, that's the reason why I'm going Houston.
And the thing, too, on the other side of the equation, they got a really good player, forward slash guard, whatever you want to call him, and Emmanuel Sharp. He's playing really well for Houston right now. This whole Houston team's playing at a level that's championship level. You know, they can say what they want to about Kelvin Sampson. The dude can flat coach. He's been consistent. At Houston, he's took them to what?
Sorry. This is a friend, and he's just having a little laugh.
If I'm not mistaken, have they not been to like 6 or 7, 8, 9, maybe consecutive? I can't remember, but there was a consecutive there where they've made certain Sweet 16s, I think, since 2021, 22, maybe. But like I said, Kelvin Sampson has done a really good job this crew. He's got them playing. I mean, to be where he was to where he is now, he had to right a lot of wrongs. He had to, like, you know, get a little grace, and he's finally doing things at Houston that is propelling them to possibly play for a national championship. So
I know this Duke team is playing better, and they kind of struggled down the stretch, but all of a sudden they've been blowing teams out. I mean, they beat James Madison by 40 points the other night.
Madison started out really cold, and Duke was really hot. And when those two things converge, it's good night, Irene. You know what I mean?
It was the other night, that's for
it's
sure.
It's the way it goes in the tournament. So,
yeah. All right, Jason, what do you think about this matchup? I know you're in Texas a lot, so in Dallas, not Houston, but Dallas.
By the way, my pick, I got Houston, by the way, just so you know, my pick.
All right.
Man, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Duke has problem with physicality, but Duke making shots, so that's a head scratcher to me. So Duke's been making shots, and Houston is not. I mean, Houston can get blown out too now.
But
I
Houston
mean,
is that 3-point
line. Yeah, we've seen that, you know, in the Big 12 championship against Iowa State. They're prone to have games where they don't really play well. So
yeah, they don't make shots and they use their toughness. One thing I can say about Kevin Sabatini, they're going to be competitive. I just seen a clip with him before I came on here.
They always do.
They're going to be
competitive. They've been competitive for the last 3 or 4 years.
That's what I'm saying. So Iowa State just made them say uncle, but I think Houston wins this game. I think Houston wins this game by a close margin, but I think they tough the game out.
I think this is going to be one of those, you know, grinders, but it also can be one of those where if shooting's going good for both teams, it could be a bloodbath in terms of points. So it varies on how Duke handles the physicality, like you said, and how they handle being pushed around in the middle of the paint.
Yep, that's what I think too, 100%. Like I said, I'm going with Houston in that game. The next one, we got a little bit of a surprise here. NC State made that run in the ACC tournament, has come in and won two games here in the NCAA tournament. And they are the 11 seed, and they're going up against the 2 seed Marquette here.
I'm going to tell you
in this bracket.
I love this Marquette team. I like Shaka Smart. He's a really good coach. I like the guy in the middle for NC State. DJ Burns, he's putting on a show in the tournament, man. He's doing his thing. You know, the other night he, you know, against Oakland and even, you know, against Texas Tech, he was putting on a show. So
he's got a very nice touch.
And the thing about DJ Burns that I tell people, I talked to a couple people today, the way he moves his feet and the way he does things around the rim is hard to understand and concept. Like, it's very precise, and it's really hard to maintain if you don't have somebody on him all the time. He's going to be a load for Marquette, but at the end of the night, I got to go with Marquette. I think they got the better guards, Cam Jones. They got Tyler Kovic back. You know, I think this Marquette team can get to the Final Four. I really do. I think they're that good. When they're hitting shots, and playing offense like they do, there's not a better team in the country than Marquette. So, give me Marquette in this game. Now, I like the little Cinderella run, the whole Jim Valvano type thing. You know, everybody talking about the Cinderella run. Here's another thing that people don't know, Jason. If NC State was to win this game, which I don't think they will. But if they win this game and Houston wins, we could be looking at a national championship rematch between Houston Cougars and the NC State Wolfpack. Like, storylines abound in this bracket. Like, come on now.
Absolutely.
March Madness, it delivers every single year. So
I think the big fella for NC State has become the fan favorite in the whole NCAA tournament. I think they're playing – my guy Brad's type of basketball. They're going inside out, letting the big fella go to work, letting the big fella kick it out for open shots. They're playing an old school style
big dog
of basketball.
But the big dog eat, man.
They are. Yeah, they're
playing like old.
And they believe. Yeah. They have a swagger about them.
They do.
I'm picking NC State.
And that's what I tell people the other night, Jason. I was watching them against Oakland. You know, Oakland was hitting some tough shots, and then NC State just punched them in the mouth and come right back. Like, most teams would just, you know, lay down and quit. Like, there was a time there where there was one or two possessions where it looked like Oakland might pull it out, and NC State just come right back and just made a game of it. Like, this NC State team is, you know, they're poised. They got some experience on that team. They're not going back down from Marquette. Not at all.
I think ultimately, because NC State has so much swagger, I think Marquette is really in tune. You know, you can see one team that's getting all the attention. Marquette is really, to me, flying right up on the radar. They just got their dude back. Dude is back. They just got them a dude back in the lineup. Yeah. And he's a guard. And we guards win in March.
And here's the thing. That's what Marquette's got, four really good guards. I'm not talking about two or three. They got four that are really, really good guards. And
Joplin, listen,
I love what NC State's done here. I love the run that they've been on. I love the way they're playing. Like Jason was talking about, they're playing old school ball. I love that. I love watching that. But gosh, everything in me says that the run ends here against Marquette.
I'll say this much about Marquette. I think the wild card here is Joplin. If Joplin's playing really well, this team can go pretty good ways.
NC State is the only double-digit seed left in the tournament. And I know that everybody thought that there was going to be this wild, crazy tournament and turned upside down and stuff. But outside of NC State, everybody is a six seed or above in the Sweet 16.
Well, you got that gun of a schedule they did. You got North Carolina, Duke, and NC State in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
When the last time has that happened? Tells you right there.
I'm telling you, it's been more of a chalk year, really, outside of Kentucky and Auburn and a few teams. But it's been more of a chalk year than it has upset year so far.
Yeah, it's been more chalk this year.
So the last men's region is the Purdue region. Purdue versus Gonzaga. Purdue's the Maui
Invitational region.
Yeah, the Zags here have really been playing well down the stretch. They get the 5 seed that I didn't really think they deserved, but they have showed that maybe they do. They played like a 5 seed. So
here's the question. Can Matt Painter's team finally get over the hump, or does Mark Few continue to do what he does in the tournament? And that's just
Mark Few has been to 9 consecutive Sweet 16s.
Mm-hmm.
9.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I really like how Gonzaga's playing right now, but Purdue is playing at a level that I've not seen them play in quite a while. They're playing really well right now, you know, with Smith, with the big boy Edie in the middle. This Purdue team, for me, I think they're going to the Final Four. That's just me, but, you know, I could be wrong on that. But
they got the guard.
They do. I think the next game will be tougher than the one they have here. I think Gonzaga won't be a pushover. Gonzaga's got some really good guards, you know, Nolan Hickman, Nimhard. They got a really good team, and they're playing great at the right time. But I think this
Watson
is for
Watson and Knight are pretty good. I don't know if they'll be able to do what they do against Edie or not.
Well, and Greg's been playing really well for Gonzaga too. So yeah. This should be a fun matchup, but I think Purdue wins this game. I don't see Gonzaga pulling this one out. This is going to be a tough one.
Matt Painter was hot.
One thing I can say, and I'm done, the Sweet 16 matchups that we do have, all of them are very intriguing. All of them are very intriguing. I think I think Purdue gets Gonzaga. I think they learn. I think Purdue is on a mission like Virginia was on a mission when they got upset last year.
2 years ago, this is where Purdue got knocked out versus St. Peter's.
Last year, they got knocked out in the first round. I think the big fella wants it. I think he really wants to prove how dominant he really is. So I'm going to roll with Purdue on this.
I do too, man. But I'm going to tell you guys, like, everything in me says to go with Purdue. But, man, I just love the way Mark Few teams play.
I tell you, man, people don't understand how
and the job that he's done for 20-plus years.
Well, he's made Gonzaga – he's made Gonzaga a consistent winner. And that's hard to do
in a power conference world. He has taken a mid-major.
Yep.
And made them a perennial top of college basketball.
And made them consistent.
And I'm going to tell you guys,
it's hard to not like Mark Few.
There's nobody else that's kept his team a mid-major that high up in college basketball for 20-plus years. That was, you know, I mean, Mark, what Mark Few has done is remarkable.
It's incredible.
And he does not get enough credit.
Man, let's say it. Think about it. Hey, guys, think about it. He's done that. I'm going to give you the major reason why. He was ahead of the curve. He was one of the first schools that was getting transfers in who actually had to sit out. And so he kept bringing them in.
Yeah.
Think about this. He's bringing kids in who will start for him, but they're training and working out, and they're noticing how they like to play. So he did that for at least 5 to 7 years. So think about that. You have people that you're training.
Probably 10.
Probably more. People that he was training sitting out. He knew the team he had great players waiting to come in who was sitting out.
Yep.
So that's why he was able to stay. He was ahead of the curve. What's going on right now? Transfer portal, USA. He's been on it. Yep. He's been on it, you know. So
this is true.
Kudos to him.
With all of that said, as much as I want to take the Zags in this pick.
No consolation prizes.
Purdue has played, they've been playing so well. And Edie, I think, is on a mission. Mm-hmm. And I just got to pick the Boilermakers here as much as I would like to do it the other way. All right. The last one in the men's bracket here is number 3 seed Creighton versus number 2 seed Tennessee. This should be one heck of a matchup, if you ask me.
Let me tell you, Tennessee's bread and butter is defense. And they got a night. They got a guy by the name of, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but his name is Dalton Kinnick. And he might be one of the best players in the country.
And he's not going to play like he did the other night again.
No, he's not going to have that happen.
You don't know. I'm going to say my take last.
On the other side of the equation.
He's already had his bad game.
You got Kyle Brenner. You got Baylor Shireman. You got the Ashford kid, the transfer. From Utah State. I'm telling you, man, this Creighton team can play. Man,
if they had Nimber,
don't forget Trey Alexander. Don't leave
Trey Alexander. That's what I'm going to say.
Don't Trey forget. Leave my
if they had
player,
Ryan Nimbrand,
my former player team, off. Yeah,
guys, Ryan Nimbrand's been the difference in Gonzaga, and if he was still on this Creighton team, wow.
And there was a lot of people that even said that Ryan Nimhard made a mistake by going to Gonzaga, but now you don't think that because they're actually taking care of business and doing things. He finally growed up during the season.
He's the reason why Gonzaga has turned the season
around. And they finally figured it out. I tell people all the time, they figured it out after they beat Kentucky late in the year.
Nimhard. What did I say? I said Nimhard. The wrong name, didn't I?
Yeah. But it's all right. But I got Tennessee in this game. I think you're going to see a rematch of the 2019 Elite Eight between Tennessee and Purdue. Sweet 16. When many Tennessee fans thought the game was took from them, which I thought it was too. The foul call at the end of the game, I thought there was some calls there that didn't go Tennessee's way against Purdue, which ended up Virginia winning the national title that year. But – anyways, I think this is a rematch, and I think Purdue ends up going to the Final Four. I like this Tennessee team. I do. But if anybody can win this title, I think Tennessee's got a really good chance as anybody. It's just, you know, the draft.
I will say this. You guys, as Mr. Connect, cannot play that well. I mean, play that bad again. And he might very well not be. But I think that, you know, the pecking order, I think he's at the top of everybody's
scouting. I said he won't shoot that bad again.
I don't think he's going to get very many looks. I don't know. He's going to have to come down.
He's not going
to
shoot 5 of 19 again.
No, he's not. He's not going to go 5 of 19.
If he does, and if he does,
congrats. I mean, that's just the way it goes in the tournament.
Exactly.
It happens. But here's the other side of the equation. You know, everybody talks about Don Connect. But Trey Alexander might be playing about as good as anybody right now. And he's taking care of business.
Tricky Trey, as we call him. Tricky Trey Alexander out of Oklahoma. Played his last year with me on the AAU circuit. Have nothing but great things. I'm a little biased, as you can tell. I'm going crazy all day.
He's great in the mid-game, that's for sure.
Because I think they're battle-tested. I think Creighton is very battle-tested. Playing in the Big East, and they had a tough schedule. And so I think they're battle-tested enough.
I'll be honest with you. I think this is the best game of the night, that night.
I hear you, and I really like this Creighton team, but there's just something in me that says the Tennessee-Purdue matchup is what we're going to see.
I mean, we all have our personal opinions. We just don't have the answers.
Now, I will say this game will come down to a possession down the stretch. It's going to get close.
I really, really like it. And Creighton could actually win this and beat Purdue. I mean, they're really that good.
They're good.
You know,
size-wise, they match up with everybody.
We've all said all year, well, Creighton can't do this, Creighton can't do that. Well, guess what? They're 2 wins away from going to the Final Four. Let's
talk about that now. But to you guys' credit, I have to give you guys credit, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm an SEC fan. I seen what Mr. Connect did all year. I'm not going to sit here and say that he was not the SEC Player of the Year by hands far away from everybody else. He was the gap was huge from him and the next person, and so I do agree he has the ability. If he comes with it, I just think somebody else has to come with it too. But if he comes with it, you're right. Tennessee is a whole different type of
ball. I'm going to tell you who the wild card is in this, and we'll move on to the women's side. But the wild card to me is Zakai Ziegler. He's one of the best defenders in the country. And if Ziegler is on and he's playing his game and he's doing the things to help Tennessee win, Tennessee becomes a bigger threat than they are with Don Connect.
That point guard play on both sides. Whoever wins that matchup,
it's everywhere on the court in this game. Yeah. If you really love college basketball, you're going to love this basketball game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Hey, Adu has got to come to play as well for Tennessee.
Yeah,
Adu. I think Adu is their second best player. That's what I think. Even over Ziegler,
and I feel like Adu.
Because he gives him that inside presence, block shots, like dude, grabs rebounds. He's just
he struggled a little bit. But I think in a game of this magnitude, I think he's going to get it together. I think he'll farm, and I think he'll get some good minutes, and I think he'll get some rebounds.
Let me kind of finish up the men's here by asking you guys this. Last year, there was 2 number one seeds that didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. 2 last year.
Now you could probably have 4.
This year, there is a chance. Do y'all think there's a chance that we have 4 number one seeds in the Final Four?
I think there's a good possibility.
What percentage of a chance would y'all
say that? I say a 70% chance.
You think it's 70? I was going to say like 30 or 40.
I think it's 70 because all year we've seen certain teams come up But in the end, we've always seen Purdue and UConn and Houston be the big dogs. And does that transpire tomorrow, Thursday night, Friday night? I don't know. But I feel like there's going to be an upset among these teams, though. Somebody's going to get knocked off. It's just – I don't really know right off the bat right now. I just don't know.
Jason, if it's what do you think? Do you think there's anybody, a chance that we see 4-1 seeds in the Final Four?
That's – I mean, it's a chance. I give it about – you said 34. I give it about a 35% chance. I think that each number one has the capability of going to the Final Four. I will respectfully say that. They're
well, the one seed that I could probably see getting knocked out would be Houston because Duke to me is a better – matchup than some of these others, I think. But I don't know. Because Duke's playing really well right now. People can say what they want to. Duke's playing, and people might not like that, but Duke's playing about as good as anybody right now. They're playing really well. And as much as UK fans out there hate Duke, it's hard to stomach at times, but Duke's playing well.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to the women's tournament, and we can kind of run through these fairly quick, but I did want to hit on the women's tournament here. We are down to the Sweet 16 as well in the women's tournament, and for the most part, most of these games kind of went chalk in the women's tournament. So we're going to start out with the number one team in the land, the only undefeated college basketball team left, that's men's or women's. We got the South Carolina Gamecocks versus the number four seed Indiana Hoosiers.
Camila Cardosa is a big
Malaysia Fulwiley. Y'all remember that name?
Cardosa is this team is loaded. This team's loaded, man. But I will say this: you know, we talk about South Carolina a lot, and Dawn
Tahina Pow. Y'all remember that name? That's a pretty cool ass name, if you ask me.
We talk about South Carolina and all that they've done, and rightfully so. They're really great. Dawn Staley's done a really good job with South Carolina and her building that program up. But Mackenzie Holmes for Indiana might be one of the better players in the country right now. She's playing at a really high level. You know, they had to come back and win against Oklahoma. And that was a tough stretch for them.
They had to come from behind and win versus
I think they had like Oklahoma. A 10-0 run.
It was a 5 seed.
I think it was a 10-0 run late in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And Mackenzie Holmes was a part of that.
Yeah,
so,
they did.
But I got South Carolina here. I think they're just too much right now. I don't see anybody beating South Carolina at this point. So give me the Gamecocks. I think they take care of business here and they win pretty big.
All right. Got the Gamecocks.
Gamecocks.
What do you pick on this one, Harrison?
Gamecocks. Knicks.
Tahina Pow. Boy, what kind of name? I mean, come on, y'all. That's a name right there, man. I'm telling you. Chloe Kitts, I mean, listen, I've seen them play about four times in person. They're impressive. I mean,
I will say this about Indiana.
And I meant to say that, Brad. I meant to say that, like, Brad, you've seen them up close and personal. Like, let's be
up
real.
Close and personal. Yes, yes,
let's
I have.
Let's be real. South Carolina is one of the better top four teams in the country.
Their talent level is unbelievable. It's off the chain.
Yeah, I'll say this about this game. Indiana probably has one of the best shooting teams in the country, volume-wise, around the country. But they're going to have to shoot for shoot with South Carolina.
They might now. Now, listen. Let me be – I'm glad you said that, John. Let me be
The deal. I don't think South Carolina is going to have a 47-point win here like they did.
I don't think that's going to happen. No.
I think Indiana has a shooting chance. If they make, you have to make shots against South Carolina. That's just a piece of, you have to make
because
shots.
This is a women's team, guys, and South Carolina averages nearly 90 points a game.
Yeah. You got to make some shots.
I'm telling you, that's a lot of points per game for a women's team.
You got to make some shots. Yeah. Indiana,
you got to score. If you're going to beat South Carolina, you got to score points. You got to hit some shots. That's absolutely right, Jason. All right. In their bracket, the 2-3 seed game is three seed is Oregon State and two is Notre Dame. Got to give a shout out here to the freshman guard, Hannah Hidalgo. She's an All-American on this Notre Dame team. You've got to see her play.
Well, I'll tell you another one that you better watch. It is Sony and Citron.
Yeah.
Sony, they're both good.
Yeah.
You know, this Notre Dame team's fun to watch. They're making their third trip to the Sweet 16. They dismantled Jason Harrison's alma mater, Ole Miss.
Shout out to Coach Yo. Shout out to Coach Yo.
And that Ole Miss team, I've seen them play good. about three or four games. They're a good team.
They're pretty good.
Notre Dame's a good team. Coach down there, she's a former player, former coach. I mean, Listen, she can coach them girls up. Notre Dame is a real good team. So I'm going to say this,
you know, Oregon State is making its first Sweet 16 appearance since 19. They beat Eastern Washington, and then they barely got by Nebraska.
The sixth seed, yeah.
I'm not sure how you pronounce this name, but hopefully I do good with it. Talia Von Ohlhoffen, that plays for – Oregon State is really, really good. They got the Gardner girl. I think this game will be close. I think this game will be tight. But I just think Notre Dame's got too much for them. And I think it's going to be a South Carolina, Notre Dame Elite Eight for right to go to the final four.
You know, that's where I'm going to. And I think that if it is Notre Dame that wins this and South Carolina, that South Carolina Notre Dame game is going to be a tough, tough game.
It's going to be a tough game.
Because Notre Dame plays really good defense.
They do.
And could, you know, maybe slow South Carolina down just a little bit. But gosh, I'm going to go Notre Dame here too and go 1-2 here in this bracket.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with it.
Exactly.
All right. Our next one is the Texas bracket. We've got number one Texas versus number four Gonzaga. I'm going to tell you guys, I think this women's Gonzaga team is overall for the whole season has been better than the men's. Like this is a really, they're 32-3 or something like that. But Texas has one of the best freshmen in the country that nobody's heard of that doesn't pay attention to women's basketball.
And I'll tell you this, too.
If you Texas don't pay a whole lot of attention, you probably don't know her name.
You know, Texas has been doing this all year without Rory Harmon. You know, she had a season-ending ACL tear. You know, Madison Booker has looked great. She had that 20-point game.
That's the name right there, Madison Booker. Madison Booker.
She's tough. Then you got you know, Aaliyah Moore. You know, she missed all last year where she got hurt. This is a fun Texas team, but this is also a fun Gonzaga team.
Don't sleep on this Gonzaga team.
This Gonzaga team's pretty good.
They are.
The two twin sisters, they're really good. They're tough. So this would be a battle for Texas, I think. But I still think at the end of the day, Texas wins this game. I'm not going upset just yet. I think there's a few upsets here, but I just don't think this will be the one. But Gonzaga, I think, covers the spread and you know, comes in the back door with the betting numbers.
Okay. What do you think, Jason?
I think Texas is going to pull this one out. Gonzaga has a good team, but I think Texas is going to pull this one out.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Texas is probably going to win this game, but I think it's going to be really close. And these Zags girls, man,
tough, man,
they really are impressive. Well, and they have a really good team.
They get after you defensively. They can score. They can do a lot of good things.
They do, but Texas, those girls, the ones we're talking about, they have some size down low.
Guards matter in March, but when it comes to the women's side of things, I think you got to have some size in the women's game. You absolutely have to have some size in the women's games.
Yeah. That's what's wrong. What was wrong with Kentucky the last couple of years. You got to have good guard play too, but you absolutely have to have some size on
you
the women's
side.
You got to
have some size on the women's side of things.
Yeah. All right. So the next bracket underneath Texas to finish this bracket with the Texas one is number three, NC State.
How do you like that NC State Texas game? That might have been one of the most fun games I've watched in a while.
That was a really good game. Listen, Tennessee had been coming on. Rekia Jackson, I got to give you a huge shout-out, girl. 33 points, 10 rebounds. You did your thing. Seriously, Rekia Jackson showed why she's probably going to be a top five WNBA pick.
Well, and NC State has got a really good junior guard, Sanaya Rivers. She had 20 points, 3 blocks, 6 rebounds. I think that was her first game with 20-plus points since March 3rd, I think. This NC State team is really tough. And on the other side, you got – let's hear it – Cameron Brink, one of the best players in the country. Cameron Brink is tough.
Yeah, you got to talk about Hannah Jump and Cameron Brink. Hannah Brink, man. I mean, she's blocking shots. She played against that big girl against Iowa State. And when I say big girl, she's a big girl. And Cameron Brink's kind of skinny. She's tall and skinny.
I'll say this about Stanford.
Tough as nails.
I'll tell you this about Stanford. Nobody does a better job than their head coach.
Vandermeer
has been a legend in her own right.
She's got just a few more wins than Geno, guys.
Geno, yes.
So what does that tell you?
That tells you
they're not separated by much, like 4 or 5 wins. Mm-mm. 3 or 4 wins.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But I got Stanford in this game. I think NC State.
I'm going Stanford too. I can't go against. I've been pulling for them for a couple. I pulled for them last year, to be quite honest with you, with Cameron Brink and Hannah Jump. They're back this year. NC State is a really, 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 really good team.
They finished second
in the ACC behind that Virginia Tech team that Kenny Brooks coached.
Mm-hmm.
That had Liz Kitley that I was talking about off the top of the show here. They are a great team, and this is going to be a tough matchup for Stanford, but I'm going to go with Stanford in this one as well. And then the next one here is Caitlin Clark in number one Iowa versus number five Colorado. The ironic thing here is these two teams met last year, in this same spot.
It was the Sweet 16. And, you know, really,
yeah,
Colorado's not really – change much. You know, they're still led by Quay Miller, Bonley. And the thing about Colorado, they play really good defense. They get after it defensively. I'm not going to pull an upset here for Iowa, but I think this will be a tough game. I think Colorado Buffaloes will have a little bit more juice this time around after losing last year, but listen, Caitlin Clark and company, you know, she's got a really good supporting cast. Kate Martin, Stolke. So this is a fun Iowa team.
Martin and Clark have been together all 4 years. They started 100 and 31 games together.
They have. And I got Iowa win this game. I just don't.
Did y'all hear what I just said? That don't even come close to happening in the men's game anymore. 131 games together.
I tell people all the time, experience matters in March. You got to have
and
some.
And I'm going to tell you, you know what I, you know, the women's game is fun because it's a whole lot like the men's game used to be back in like the 80s.
Yeah, it's kind of reversed its trend.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun. And it's really the popularity. Caitlin Clark has really helped this out. The popularity of the game is at the highest that it's been in a long, long time.
I got to go with my girls here and go with Iowa and go with the Hawkeyes
and go with Caitlin Clark.
But I do think Colorado will give them a little kind of a test right out of the bat. But I think Caitlin Clark will do her thing, and she'll make sure they win this game and move to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. There's one more bracket.
Oh, is there? Okay.
In their bracket is number three LSU versus number two seed UCLA. If y'all remember, Iowa and LSU met in the national championship game last year.
I think this is where I might pull the upset here. Man, LSU's had two ugly games to start this tournament. They haven't played really well. You know, they opened the tournament beating Rice, I think it was by 10. Then they started slow against Middle Tennessee. They even got down, I think, 9 points in the third quarter. So LSU's going to have their work cut out for them this game. Faje, Angel Reese, you know, Johnson, Morrow.
They've got some talent. I'm telling you, LSU's got some. Lily Van Lith. I mean, it just goes down the line. They've got some talent.
This game to me has the makings of an instant
classic. They haven't been playing all that well, I don't think.
Both are talented, but they're flawed. You know what I'm saying? UCLA is trying to get the most out of their offense, but UCLA kind of goes to their defense at times. And I think that's where they win this game. I think they are going to put some D on Angel Reese and company. And I think we see our first upset, which it might not even be an upset because it's the 2 seed beating the 3 seed. So,
yeah,
I think UCLA wins this game. I'm going to go upset here. I think LSU is going to be in for a tough matchup. The last two games have not really gave me a sense of urgency.
I'm going to be honest with you. When I did my bracket, I picked UCLA in this game.
Mm-hmm.
This was a toss-up game. It was hard for me to pick this one. I really kind of wanted to go with LSU in this game. I love the talent on this LSU team. I don't like their attitude all the time. And they sometimes get in their own heads, get in their own way in their games.
It tends to work on them, yeah.
I have seen them play all these SEC teams. I have seen play 3 or 4 games this year in person, like up close and personal, courtside, in the media. And they can get in their own way sometimes. Because of that, I picked UCLA in my bracket, but I'm tempted to go LSU here on the show.
Well, they're talented.
Because they have the talent to do it.
They're talented to win the whole thing. It's just putting their things aside and just.
Wajay Johnson is spectacular. Morrow is great. Van Lilith can shoot the lights out when she wants to.
Yeah, it just.
And she's tough as nails on defense.
What LSU team are you?
I'll tell you what people don't see about Van Lilith. Is she as tough as nails on defense, bodies up and just.
And I'll say this on behalf of LSU, you just don't know which LSU team you're going to get. And that's the problem.
I said sometimes they kind of get in their own way, but. Yeah. All right, we got 2 more games real quick to go through. We got number 1 USC versus number 5 Baylor.
You know what one of the best things about March Madness is?
What's that?
It's when a star comes out and just shows out. And that's what Juju Watkins is doing.
Juju Watkins. You talking about Juju Watkins?
She's taking over, man. She's turning into a star.
27.4. Yeah.
She's making USC relevant again. She's got them as a title contender.
1994 that they have made the Sweet 16.
It's been a while. She's second in the nation in scoring. You know, the Lady Bears are fortunate to be here. I'll just be honest with you. If Elizabeth,
two ex-Kentucky girls that's leading them.
If Elizabeth Kitely was actually playing, I think Virginia Tech is in this game right here.
They probably are.
But I don't think Watkins and company is going to have a problem.
Bruna Edwards and Jada Walker are two former Kentucky players that's on this Baylor team.
This Baylor team's good. That's not my point. It's just I think USC is that much better. And I think Juju Watkins is playing at a level that, you know, she's done it all year, but she's raised it up a level when it matters. And she's put USC in a contention to go to the Final Four. And that's a big step for that program, which hasn't been relevant in quite a while.
The stars are coming out in Los Angeles there. You know, they played the first two rounds there at USC. And, I mean, the Vanessa Bryant brought her girls, all three of her girls, to the game, the first game. John Wall was there.
Yeah, it's the second game. It's a celebrity show, honestly.
It's
not to behold. Yeah,
Juju Watkins is making USC relevant again, and I'm just going to tell you guys, I think that I like this Baylor team. Like I said, they have a couple of ex-Kentucky girls who helped win this 2022 SEC title over South Carolina. The last time South Carolina was beat by an SEC team.
So there's some experience there. So that's not the count.
The Baylor Bears have some experience, and you can't count them out. But I'm going USC Trojans.
Juju Watkins is going to do her thing. She's going to take
it. I think so. 6'2 guard on the women's side that can handle. I mean, she's just amazing.
This is the game coming up that we're getting ready to talk about that really – Duke.
This is the last Ohio State. Yep. Duke upset Ohio State.
Not only did they beat them on their home floor, they had to come back from 16 points down to win.
And beat them by 12.
So
they came back from 16 down and beat them by 12 on their own home floor. And this Ohio State team was, you know, ranked number 2 in the country a few weeks back.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Reagan Richardson is a really good player for Duke. I think she's averaging like 11 points per game. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to go against Geno in this situation.
He's such a good Edwards. I mean, it's just hard to pick
against. I don't call her Paige. I call her Paige Buckets because that's what she is. She gets the buckets. She gets the points. She knows how to take care of business. And I think UConn rolls in this game.
Stars in the women's game. If you guys ain't paying attention to it, man, there is some stars in the women's game.
There's some big time players here.
There is.
You know, she missed a half a year ago. Paige did. Now she's averaging 30 points. Listen to this, y'all. 30 points a game and 10 rebounds a game. Now, that's impressive, you know. That's through the first two games of this tournament.
Yeah.
And I just think Duke, to me, is just walking into a buzzsaw. I think, you know, great job at beating Ohio
State. It's hard for me to pick against UConn, but I got to give a huge shout-out here to Kara Lawson. That's Duke's coach.
Yeah, she's done a really good job with them.
Man, she's doing a fantastic job with that women's program.
Like, this is, to me, this is sort of like we have in the men's side with NC State. This is
a former great player.
This is a really great story, like NC State is, that's in the Sweet 16. But unfortunately, it ends where it begins, and that's not no knack on Kara Lawson. It's just the fact that I think Gino Auriemma is just that good of a coach. He knows how to win these games, and I think they get it done. I think they're playing – where are they playing? In Albany? Is it in Albany?
No, it's in Portland.
It's Portland. In Portland.
I think they're in the Portland region.
Portland. Yep. So, I'm going to log off for the rest of the night. I know you want to do a good, the bad, the ugly thing. Brad's going to kind of do an intake on Kentucky basketball, the men's side of things.
The men's side.
So I'm kind of want to exit out of this because I had a lot to say earlier, and I really don't have much else to say on the whole situation. All I can say is that I don't agree with the situation, but I realize I think what Barnhart had to do because he didn't have the right prospects, candidates out there that could just take it over this year. And next year, I think he might have that opportunity if something goes south and Cal doesn't perform like he did this year. The biggest thing with me, and I've said it, and I'm gonna log off here. This is where I have an issue. The last 4 years of Kentucky basketball is inexcusable. You didn't make the worst season endings.
In Kentucky basketball history, 100+ years.
You didn't make the tournament 21, but I kind of give that a pass because it was COVID. There was a lot going on at that time, but still, they missed the tournament. 2022, they lose to St. Peter's. 2023, they actually win the first game. They beat Providence, but
lose to Kansas State in the second round, which is not horrendous.
It's not horrendous, but it's still a ugly side on the resume. And then the fourth try was against Oakland. I'm going to say this on this topic. I'm going to kind of go with Nick Saban, hypothetical here. If Nick Saban hadn't won a bowl game in quite a while, and he lost to Indiana or Minnesota, let's just say couple average Big Ten teams, right, in football. Say he loses to both of them. Alabama fans would be at the front door of the AD's office.
If it's going on for 4 or 5 years, I guarantee you they would be.
And this is my issue with the whole Cal thing. 4 straight years of March results that have resulted in being knocked out the first weekend. Not to mention – you lose to Texas A&M this year, and then you lose to Vandy the fall before the year.
If you want to get technical, the last 4 years, Kentucky's postseason record is 2-8. Did y'all hear what I said?
It's 2-8.
2-8. They're 1-4 in the SEC and 1-4 in the NCAA.
To me, it's just inexcusable.
Guys, I'm not going to bash, okay? The reason why I'm going to call this the good, bad, and the ugly, and I'm going to try to do this pretty quick.
Well, let me finish what I got to say, and then you can. But here is my whole thing with this whole Cal Perry thing. And, you know, we're media. We're trying to build ourselves up. And here's the thing that people don't get is it's not just Kentucky media and regular little folks media that's talking. It's national media. It's the Field of 68. It's John Fanta. It's Doster. It's Jeff Goodman. It's everybody. ESPN guys.
Colin Cowherd.
And I'm going to say this to add to that. Mitch's legacy to me, is on the line here. Because you've let a coach come back
that has lost three straight first weekend X's out of the NCAA tournament. If this was happening at any other school, it'd be out the door. But it's Kentucky. There's a standard to be held. And here's the thing that really
John, I got to really see it. We're going to run out of time. You've had about 5 minutes.
I just got one more thing. The really thing that eats me up, and I'm logging off, the really thing that eats me up more than anything is that people act like that nobody else can win here at Kentucky. That's my biggest thing. It can only be Cal. Cal does this. Well, Kentucky was a story program before Cal got here. That's all I'll say. But I'm logging off for the night. Y'all have a great night.
97 for 95 years. I mean, but here's the deal.
Go, Brad.
I'm not going to bash nothing, be bad about it. So if you want to stay on, you can or what. But
I got to go. Have a good one, man. Okay. Good night.
So the good, bad, and the ugly here with Mitch's decision to keep Calipari. I'm going to say this. I'm going to put both of them, Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari, for Kentucky basketball over the last 15 years, fixing to be 16 now, there has been good, bad, and ugly for Kentucky basketball. And John Calipari has come in and he's done great to start with. There's been bad, you know, we put up with it for a year or two. And now it's got nothing but ugly. It's just ugly. I mean, we had the number one recruiting class coming in. We had, you know, top five recruits. We had two grad seniors on the team. I mean, there's just no excuse for what happened on this team. There's no other way around it except to say it's ugly. And what happened today could be labeled as good, bad, and ugly as well. What happened today with Mitch and John in a meeting and coming out saying they're keeping him. It could turn any of these ways. But here's the deal. If it does turn bad or ugly, you're both tied together and there will be a price to pay at the University of Kentucky. So go Cats. I hope it all works out, but it definitely can go any which way. It's been proven year after year after year now. All right. Our next show will be Friday night. We're going to do an Elite Eight special just to wrap up what's going on of both tournaments, men's and women's. We'll do that at 9 o'clock on Friday night. And our tournament bracket challenge, I posted on social media on our Facebook page the update actually today, this morning, I think. I posted the update. Jason Poole still leading the men's bracket, and Lauren Hayes is leading the women's bracket challenge. The winners of the brackets will get our home field apparel, 20% discount. And all that said, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I will see you guys on Friday night. Happy March Madness.